Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.RandallGreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Under a place so that you're an open prey for the enemy to come and attack you in your life. Another good example of that is in the book of Acts. Remember when the Holy Ghost was being poured out? Ananias and Sapphira, remember? And this was after Jesus rose from the dead, shed his blood, a revivalist broke out. Ananias and Sapphira fell dead for lying about money. Isn't that right? Yes, they did. Fell dead. And then there was a king in the book of Acts that the people begin to praise him and talk about how great and glorious he was. And the Bible says that all of a sudden an angel of the Lord smote him and worms ate him and he died because he was trying to take the glory away from God. People are going to be judged for trying to take the glory away from God in this day. There's people that God brought from a lowly place and now God set them in a higher place. And they go around strutting like a peacock with his feathers stuck out, saying, look at me, look what I have done. No, you better say, look what the Lord has done. Yeah. Isn't that right? Amen. And then there was Hymenaeus and Alexander that opposed the ministry of Paul. And they was in opposition against him. And they was speaking evil of Paul and speaking evil of the ministry. And of course, the way the commentators said it, they said at one time they might have even walked in the way of Christianity. But they decided they knew more than Paul, and Paul didn't know what he was talking about, and they didn't want anybody to listen to Paul anymore. It's Hymenaeus and Alexander, and Paul turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit may be saved to the day of Christ. So what God's going to do, he's going to judge people for talking against the way of Christianity in the day that we live in, and talking against those that he set in places to preach the gospel to them. That's not good shouting. I know we're turning adversity into victory, we are, but we're judging ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? And another place, remember Ananias and Sapphira fell dead for lying about money. Another place that judgment is coming is that God has given people money that he intended for them. God wants you blessed beyond your wildest imaginations, but he don't want you covetous and he don't want you greedy. God is going to judge people in areas of money where he has allowed monies to come people's way. And they have consumed it on their own lust instead of putting it in the church and putting it into the ministries that he told them to. Excuse me. Amen, Brother Randy. Good preaching. Amen. Those on the tape that couldn't see me, I sit down and amen myself. Amen. Because it's hard to get amen. And I'm not knocking nobody. I'm just trying to tell you what's coming. It's on the way. It's headed for us. So get right in those areas. Repent. Make sure that you're not the one that's opened the door to the enemy in your life. And listen, if you discover you have opened the door to the enemy in your life, it's not the end. It's really a new beginning. Because you can close the door. You can judge yourself. The Bible says if you would judge yourself, you would not be judged. So we're talking about turning adversity into victory. We don't want to speak against the gospel, speak about those against those that's preaching the gospel to us, and we don't want to talk about one another either. Want to lift one another up in the day that we live in. Amen. God is bringing correction to his people. Judgment's coming on the individual realm. It's coming on the family realm. And it's coming on the international level. I mean the national level. Judgment is coming. I mean things are coming. In fact, I was praying Friday. And Friday in prayer, I seen people crying and weeping. And I saw such devastation. I mean, I can't even describe what I saw in the Spirit. And I began to weep and cry before God. And I said, God, I said, don't let this be. God, you're a God of mercy. You're a God of grace. He said, son, my judgment is my mercy. He said, if you was headed to hell as happy as you could be, he said, wouldn't you want me to flag you down and keep you from going to hell, even if it took me judging you on this earth so that you would turn around and get your life right? Or would you rather go into eternity and burn in an everlasting lake of fire, being forever and ever and ever separated from me? I said, God, judge me if you want to. Here I am. My God, I sure don't want to go to hell. But you know what? That don't mean you have to be judged. Nobody in this building has to be judged by God. God didn't have to let God. You don't have to let God judge you, because the Bible says you can judge yourself. Isn't that right? See, we want to judge ourselves. But I saw people weeping and crying, and I said, God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then the Lord said, son, he said, if I don't judge this generation, he said, the wickedness is filled in the land. Everywhere you turn, there's wickedness. And there's something about wickedness that people don't even think about looking at God until the everything is taken away and they're in adversity and situations are there and devastation is all around them. Then they'll cry out to God. What I'm talking about, and listen, we know that God don't do evil. God does good. God is good. That's the banner you got up there. And we believe God is good. But when you get out there out of under the umbrella of God's protection, it's an open door to the devil. And brother, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking him he may devour. So I was saying, God, have mercy. He said, son, he said, I'm going to have mercy. He said, but he had me get my Bible and go back to the day of Genesis chapter 6 and look in Genesis chapter 6. And there in Genesis chapter 6, it said that wickedness had filled the earth in the days of Noah. And God said to Noah, he said, it repents me that I've even made man. And he said, I'm going to destroy man and every living creature. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. And do you know what? You have too, if you're born again and walking in the light. Amen. But did judgment come? Yes. God wiped out every living, moving, breathing creature on the earth at that time. He wiped them out. And God said, son, if I don't judge this generation because of wickedness is filled in the earth and violence is in the earth, he said, if I don't judge it, he said, it won't be fair to that generation back there in Noah's day. Then he took me to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he showed me about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18. And he showed me how in Sodom and Gomorrah, wickedness was running over and rampant everywhere. And he said, I'm going to go down and I'm going to see if this wickedness is like this. And that's when Abraham, of course, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 18, I believe it is, and told him what he's about to do. And then that's when Abraham prayed and said, Father, if you find just 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, will you spare it? He said, yes, Abraham, I'll spare it for 10 righteous. But guess what? Fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah and burned them up. And they wasn't 10 righteous found there. But so God showed me this. He said, if I don't judge this generation, it won't be fair to Sodom and Gomorrah. So God is allowing his judgment to take place. So what are we doing? You can smile. Everything's going to be all right. Because we want to make sure, point one, that we are not the source of our adversity. How long does it take to make sure that we're not the source of our adversity? Just a little while, really. You just check out in your heart and make sure you're doing the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, then adversity cannot come your way. All right, we're moving right along. What are we doing? We're talking about turning adversity into victory. Number two, you know this. Number one, you found out that you're not the source of the adversity. Number two, if you're not the source of your adversity, number two, Satan is the source of all adversity. Satan is. If you are not bringing it on yourself, if you're being obedient to God to the best of your knowledge and walking in the light, Satan is, number two, Satan is the source of all your adversity, and he must be resisted. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You've got to resist the devil. You've got to put him in his place. Ephesians chapter 6. Satan is the source of all your adversity. Remember, we didn't find out point one, that we're not the source of it. We judged ourselves. Satan is the source of all your adversity, and you must deal with him and put him in his place and stand against him. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils, which means test, trials, adversities of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, or you could say in the day of adversity, and having done all, to stand. Satan is the source of your adversity. If you know that you're walking in the light of God's Word, it's Satan that's trying to keep you out of the blessings that God has for you. Remember, you can turn your adversity into victory. How? By recognizing that Satan is the source. God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. If you're walking upright, you know it's not God. The Bible says, "A blessing of the Lord, He maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that you need, they shall be added unto you." Isn't that what the Bible says? So God is not the source of your adversity, it is Satan. When you recognize it's Satan, you've got to stand against him. Well, how do you stand against Satan? That's a good question. You've got to make a plan. So point three is this. I know I've dwelt a lot on that first. That's why we're moving along here. Point three, make a plan to change or come out of your adversity. If you don't have a plan to come out of your adversity, Satan has a plan to keep you in your adversity. If you don't have a plan or haven't made a plan to come out of your adversity, and we're going to tell you how to do that. We're not just going to leave that hanging. We're not going to tell you you need to do something. We're going to show you what to do and help you do it, to make a plan to come out of your adversity. Is there anybody in here tonight that's had any financial adversity lately? Hands, feet, and everything, legs, and everywhere else. You know, it seems to be that the church, the body of Christ, has more adversity or seemingly attacks in the area of money than any other area. We have attacks in every area, but in this area, why is that? Because the money that we need to operate with is in this world system, and Satan controls this world system, and he has more control of it than he does about anything else. This world system that we live in has been designed by Satan to keep you in bondage, not to set you free. So what we have to do is we have to make a plan to come out of our adversity when it comes to money. So you've got to make a plan to come out of the adversity of physical attacks on your body. So what do we do? What is my plan? First of all, what you do, and I showed you this morning what I had done, but I sat down and I wrote out things that I wanted to see changed in my life. Areas of my life that I was having continual adversity in. And listen, I'm not saying that you can make the devil leave you forever, because if you could, you would be greater than Jesus, you know. Now the day is coming that he's going to be removed from the planet for forever and ever and ever, and thank God for that. But until that day comes, he has a right to roam to and fro, seeking to be made devour, but he can't come to your house unless we let him. So we're going to make a plan to change our adversity. So what we're going to do is we're going to sit down and we're going to write down the areas of our life that we want to see a change in. If you do not like where you're at right now, you can bring change in that area of your life. You can bring change. What do you do? When you're in financial dilemmas, do you know why Satan wants to bring you in a financial dilemma? It's to get you in fear, to make you think that God is not big enough to take care of you. And the first thing that happens in most of our lives, and I'm throwing me in there too, right in the middle of it, number one in the middle of it, the first thing that Satan does in the area of money, he tries you to get you to quit sowing, to quit giving financially when you get into financial distress. And that is the worst thing that you can do. Why? Because the Word of God says, in the Bible, it says in Luke 6:38, and this is a plan for you. If you want to get out of financial adversity, Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." But also in 2 Corinthians 9, I believe it is verse 6, the Bible says, "He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He that soweth sparingly is going to reap also sparingly." And what happens is, when you get in a situation that you need finances, what you do is you say, "Well, I hadn't got nothing to give." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. In fact, sometimes what you give in your financial adversity is greater than what you give when you got a whole lot of money. Said, how do you know? Because remember when Jesus was there standing by the offering bucket, and all he was watching people throw in the money, and then all of a sudden this little lady came in, and just for the sake of understanding, that she threw in a couple of pennies, and Jesus stopped the whole entourage of his disciples and said, "Come over here, boys." He said, "You see what this lady just cast in there? And Jesus is watching what you put in the offering plate." If he stood and watched then, don't you think he can watch now? Said, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth." Yeah. He see everywhere now. But he was looking. And they said, what? He said, well, she only throwed in a couple of pennies. He said, yeah. And they said, well, and all these other people, they throwed in lots of money. He said, yeah, but they all cast in out of their abundance. He said, but she put in everything she had. In other words, what he was saying was this. Because they cast in out of their abundance, it means they had plenty left over. Off they left an offering plate, and they should have put in a whole lot more. And they were stealing from God. You know what I'm talking about? And the lady cast in the two pennies.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.